Okay, so it's really my great pleasure to be here and present this work. Okay, so we know that it's a very hot topic today, that how to design and integrate NAND flash memory into the computing system is being heavily pursued by the industry. And this grand industrial trend is essentially enabled by the continuous speed cost reduction thanks to the very aggressive technology scaling. However, we know that the side effect of this very beautiful technology scaling is that at the meanwhile, the memory cell storage reliability also degrade. For example, in terms of bit error rate, program and erase cycling endurance, and retention time. So as a result, as industry is pushing the technology scaling, and the NAND flash memory becomes increasingly noisy. So that makes many people nervous and make many people, especially at system level, become very skeptical about the future application and scalability of NAND flash-based solid-state storage devices for storage computing high-end applications. So fortunately, actually, the NAND flash memory is not the first storage device suffer this kind of problem. For magnetic recording hard disk drive, actually faced the same problem many years ago. And over the past several decades, the areal density of magnetic recording increased by over 5 orders of magnitude. So although the storage media becomes increasingly noisy along this scaling path, the industry happens still manage to provide highly reliable magnetic recording storage system, hard disk drives. Why? Because they apply increasingly sophisticated write and read processing functions and wrap these functions together with a noisy hard disk media so that these processing functions can accommodate the noisy underlying storage media. So actually, in order to develop those processing functions, it is indispensable to develop a sufficiently faithful mathematical channel model. That mathematical channel model can capture those major device characteristics and the distortion sources, just like in hard disk drive, just like a bit response head noise and the media noise. And only after we have this mathematical channel model ready, then we can talk about how to develop those powerful write and read processing functions to accommodate those noisy storage media. So actually, in fact, for all the emerging magnetic recording technologies like bit pattern media and heat assisted media and two-dimensional recording, for all those emerging recording technologies, the first system-level task is always to develop the sufficiently faithful mathematical channel model to model this new recording media. So actually, it's very naive. That is, as a NAND flash memory becomes sufficiently noisy, so we should do the same thing, right? We just we develop some mathematical channel model to capture the major device characteristics and the distortion sources for NAND flash memory. And then based upon those channel models, then we can develop some sufficiently powerful processing functions to accommodate the noisy NAND flash memory media. But however, in practice, instead of using this kind of a channel model, today the system designers just rely on the data sheet and specify some very simple operational parameters. And even though this kind of super simplified approach make the system designer's life much less painful, but apparently it loses a lot potential optimization opportunities and might become inadequate when the technology scales over 20 nanometer, enter the 1x nanometer node, and eventually go to three-dimensional integration. So that noisy, the device becomes really noisy. So we really cannot afford to do that. So then very straightforwardly, our first task is that to develop some NAND flash memory mathematical channel model that can capture those device level characteristics and then expose these device level characteristics up to the storage device designers, that people who design the storage device, like people in at SandForce, at Fusion.io, then they can, when they design their solid state drive, then they can cross layer optimize the system design. Okay, so the first, a very little about device basics. So we know that each memory cell, each NAND flash memory cell is just a floating gate transistor. And the data storage is realized by modulating the transistor threshold voltage through controlling the amount of electrons trapped into the floating gate layer. And all the data in one page are just stored in floating gate transistors attached to the same word line. And after the flash memory cells are erased, the threshold voltage of those erased transistors is very low and tend to follow a wide Gaussian distribution. And the objective of programming is, of course, is just to move the threshold voltage from the erased state into a certain predefined position for the programming. And this is realized by applying a sequence of high program voltage with staircase step, it's called delta V. And this kind of incremental step pulse programming result in this kind of threshold voltage distribution, like this is a 2 bits per cell NAND flash memory. So in each cell, the threshold voltage can fall into four possible windows, so corresponding to 2 bits. And the width of the program state just equals to the delta V used in the programming. So because we sweep the voltage or the word line voltage with a step of delta V, so very naively, like if we want to increase the program speed, then we have to increase the delta V to speed up this sweeping. Clearly that if the delta V become wider, then the noise margin in the storage will degrade. So that will degrade the raw storage reliability. So that leads to a clearly a trade-off between the program speed and the raw storage reliability. And that can be easily tuned by a single parameter, delta V. So that can be easily done in the flash chip. And for the noise and the distortion in the flash, we mainly model three distortions, including cell-to-cell interference, random telegraph noise, and the retention noise. Okay. The shift of the threshold voltage of one floating gate transistor can interfere the threshold voltage of its neighbors. So this is called the cell-to-cell interference through this parasitic capacitance coupling effect. And this cell-to-cell interference is one of the most severe noises in NAND flash memory devices, and it's becoming more and more significant as we keep pushing the technology scaling. So we know that program and erase cycling will degrade the device, but how? So basically, the program and erase cycling cause the damage of the floating gate transistors in the form of the charge traps. So that means when floating gate transistors undergo more and more erase and the program cycles, and then it will introduce more and more charge traps in the silicon oxide of the transistor. And those traps can randomly capture or emit electrons. And this kind of random electron capture and emission events will introduce random threshold voltage fluctuation. So that will degrade the noise margin of the flash memory. So this kind of RTN noise, random telegraph noise, tend to add exponential tails on both sides of the threshold voltage distribution. And when the program in recycling increase, the trap density tend to increase in a power law fashion. So if the trap density increase, then the magnitude of this noise will increase. So that will gradually eat up the noise margin. So that is the reason why when we keep program and erase the threshold floating gate transistors, it will gradually die out. So that is a major reason for this. And also after the NAND flash being programmed, its threshold voltage will gradually reduce with time and with a large degree of variability. And so this will clearly, again, also degrade the noise margin. So this kind of retention noise is mainly due to these three causes. And based on the open literature in the semiconductor device community, we can easily model this process as a Gaussian process, and the mean value and the variance just, again, also scale with the program in the erase cycling and the time in a power law fashion. So altogether, about that, those factors, we develop this kind of mathematical channel model that can quantitatively capture how those noise will happen and how those program in erase cycling will gradually degrade the characteristics of the floating gate transistor. For example, here, based on the representative device parameters in the open literature, we just carry out Monte Carlo simulations and for 2 bits per cell NAND flash memory. And this distribution figure shows what happens after the programming and what happens after the random telegraph noise happened and what is after the cell-to-cell interference happened, and then what is the eventual threshold voltage distribution after we reach the retention time of 1 year. And also, as mentioned earlier, that the program in erase cycling will gradually degrade the noise margin. So this figure just as an example shows, like, for example, if we have a memory with the erase cycles only 100, then the noise margin is pretty good. We can very easily distinguish those four different levels to read out 2 bits. But if these underwent 10,000 PE cycles, the noise margin dramatically degrade. So this is just an example to illustrate that. So very naively, that if once we have those mathematical channel model to capture those device level characteristics, then we are able to carry out many interesting research on the architecture and system level to see that how we can exploit those device level characteristics and then do something on the solid state drive level, how to improve the overall system. In fact, we argue that once we plug in this kind of modeling, we should rethink many issues like fault tolerance and the flat transaction layer and even the overall solid state drive system architecture. Okay, so as we mentioned earlier, that the device storage reliability degrade with the PE cycling and the retention time. And clearly that the memory fault tolerance should be strong enough to handle the worst case reliability, right? So then as a result, the flash manufacturer like Toshiba, Samsung, they have to manufacture enough number of spare redundancy to enable the ECC geared to the worst case, to handle the worst case device reliability. So as a result, that is this kind of worst case geared redundancy is essentially underutilized most of the time throughout the lifetime, right? Especially during the early lifetime when the device reliability is good, then this amount of redundancy is really more than enough. So just like we in this figure, when the PE cycling is just 1,000, then the reliability is very good from the raw device. We really do not need that many redundant cells for ECC. But when we go to a 10,000 PE cycles, then the raw bit error rate increases, and we do have to use those existing spare redundancy provided by the manufacturer. So then up to now, it's very naive. That is, we may ask that, okay, so instead of just wasting those existing, those underutilized redundancies, so why not just trade those underutilized redundancy in the runtime in adaptive to the PE cycling to improve some other memory system performance dynamically? So it's a very naive argument, right? So then in this work, we just explore this adaptive design space from two very simple angles, including the improved program speed and improve the technology scalability. Both of them have a very, very simple concept. Okay, so first is about improve the program speed. So we showed earlier that there is an essential trade-off between the program speed and the raw reliability tuned by the delta V. And in current design practice, the manufacturer, the chip designer, simply just fix the delta V as small enough in order to tolerate the worst case end of lifetime reliability. And clearly that we can intentionally increase the delta V at the early lifetime of the device, because in the early lifetime, there's a lot of existing redundancy underutilization. So we can increase the delta V then to intentionally make the device reliability bad, worse. Then we can reduce the redundancy underutilization. Just like in this example, if under 1,000 PE cycling, instead of using small delta V, then we can just intentionally increase the delta V to increase the program speed and without violating the existing redundancy to make sure we still have can maintain the storage data integrity given the existing worst case geared hardware redundancy. So this very simple idea actually just pushed to a very straightforward paradigm shift. That is, in today's practice, the program speed is fixed. The delta V is fixed. Then the redundancy utilization gradually increases over the lifetime. And then after we use this very simple idea, then the program speed gradually reduces. And then the redundancy utilization will almost keep always 100% over the entire lifetime of the memory. So, of course, but in practice, because we are just the circuit designers, so we know that in practice, we cannot very fine-grained tune the delta V. So in practice, we can only support a few number of different delta Vs in real circuit. So that we just partition the entire P cycling window and then into certain ranges. So within each range, we just fix the delta V for that range of the P cycling. It's a very simple concept. Okay. Second, regarding scalability. Nowadays, the NAND flash memory is about 25 nanometer node, and the industry is pushing very hard to into the below 20 nanometer node. They are doing very aggressive, very crazy things, like double patterning, immersion photolithography, even the EUV and the nano imprint. So as a result, the defects in this extremely dense memory array tend to increase. And so that makes the traditional spare row and the column repair become increasingly inadequate. So here, very naively, because we have a lot of redundant cells in the memory array, so why not just we use certain portion of the error control coding correction capability to tolerate those defects in memory. So as we mentioned, that the redundancy, existing redundancy, is geared to the worst case device reliability for the end of this PE cycling endurance limit. But if suppose that we want to utilize this existing redundancy to help to push the technology scalability, that is, we allocate certain number of redundant cells to compensate the memory defects. And then as a result, the remaining redundancy is not enough to guarantee the worst case reliability. So we have to degrade the P cycling endurance limit. And also, because defects in different blocks will be different. So as a result, different blocks in the same flash memory chip will have a different amount of achievable P cycling limit. But recall that people use wire leveling, right, to do the design. And the wire leveling, the objective of the wire leveling is just to uniformly spread the PE programmed erase throughout all the blocks. However, in this case, because different blocks have different achievable PE cycling endurance limit, so clearly this kind of uniform wire leveling tend to result in a large waste. And again, very naively, we should do in another fashion, that is we call the differential wire leveling, just the way we schedule the program and erase operations among different blocks in proportion to the different achievable P cycling endurance limit for the different blocks. So it's a very simple concept. Okay, so then we just move ahead to run some simulations to evaluate, to quantitatively evaluate the effectiveness of these two very simple approaches. We use SSD model in disk sim, and we use some pretty popular traces, and we assume the target is 2 bits per cell NAND flash memory, and we tune the flash channel model in such a way that when we use 54-bit error correction BCH code, we can guarantee 10,000 P cycling endurance limit and a 1 year retention time limit. Okay, so assume that the NAND flash chip can support four different program speed mode, that is four different delta V, that we can increase the delta V by 1.17 times, by 1.33 times, and 1.5 times, then this simulation results just show that how much we can reduce the average response time when we increase the program speed. And of course, we know that at a different lifetime, we can use a different program speed. So based on our calculation, that among this 10,000 overall achievable P cycling endurance limit, during the first about 2,700 P cycles, we can speed up the program by 1.5 times without violating the redundancy, existing error correction capability. And then later on, we just gradually reduce the speed up factor. And then at the end of lifetime, we just restore to the normal minimal delta V with the slowest program speed. So this figure just to show how much we can improve the response time throughout the whole lifetime from 0 to 10,000 cycles. And this parallel package is just a different number of NAND flash chips per channel. Okay, so regarding the technology scalability, we just use a very popular Poisson-based defect distribution model. So that is very widely used in the manufacture. So basically, the probability that the worst-case page in each block contains the deep memory defects can be estimated using this equation. And the lambda is the mean value, the mean of the defects numbers. So given the existing redundancy that can support error correction of T errors, so if we use this existing ECC to correct, to compensate D memory defects, then we only have D minus T minus D error correction capability to handle those well outs, to handle the operation noise. So as a result, the achievable P cycling endurance limit will reduce. And then if we use a differential wire leveling, then we can very easily calculate what is the average achievable P cycling endurance limit. So this figure just, we run the simulations, show like given the different number of defects in block, then how much the P cycling endurance will drop. And this figure just show that given different defect model parameter, then what is the difference between the conventional uniform wire leveling and this simple differential wire leveling techniques throughout the whole lifetime. Clearly, that's true. Very simple design approach for improving the speed and tolerating more memory defects. They are completely orthogonal, and we can use these two approaches at the same time to improve the speed and tolerate defects. So this just results shown here. Okay, so conclusion here from the device and the circuit architecture community, we argue a promising potential that is to develop a sufficiently faithful mathematical channel model for NAND flash memory, and based upon this channel model to design some kind of adaptive write and read processing functions that expose many interesting opportunities to do a cross-layer system design and architect. And in this work, particularly, we developed this mathematical channel model to capture the major characteristics and the distortion. And we developed two very simple design approach to demonstrate. And actually, these two simple approach, just very simple examples to show what might be done under this design strategy. And a lot of things can be done along the line, we believe. So this ends my talk. Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Yes.
Brent Welch with Panasa. So what can you simulate the effect on the device lifetime by operating it at the higher voltage in the beginning? So aren't you essentially you're wearing it out faster by squirting the electrons into the floating gate with much higher voltage, right? 1.5 times the nominal. So can you simulate in your framework the reduced lifetime of the device?
Yes. This is just a mathematical model. Given different parameter, we can just observe different characteristics given different input. Yeah. So actually, this model just based upon underlying physics about how NAND flash device will behave, will wear out. So we can just provide some further manufacturer specified or some we can just arbitrarily define some parameters to see how this channel will behave.
Hi.
Yes.
Human Vassif, Permabit. When you're using the redundant cells to improve the program response time, don't you cause additional wear on the redundant cells and thereby reduce the overall lifetime of the device?
No. Why it will?
By using cells that would be used redundantly later, you're using them earlier, so don't you cause additional wear onto those cells specifically?
No. Because in any way, the chunk of the data will be changed. I mean, the majority of the cells have to be erased every time when we want to reprogram. So even though we leave certain redundancy unprogrammed or programmed, it really has no impact on the overall block cycling limit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a quick question. Does the access pattern affect reliability at all? Do you need to simulate that at all?
Okay, the question is access pattern, like workload characteristic, about how I don't see how we actually it's a complete orthogonal. I think it's really here we just how the device physically respond to the programmed erase operations, but from the workload perspective, how frequently I need to erase, so that is I think it's really kind of orthogonal.
So
Sorry, I want to try one more time on that question. Say I have a 10,000 write lifetime device.
Yes.
But I write it with a higher voltage in the beginning of its life. Does it turn into a 9,500 cycle device, or does it somehow stay a 10,000 cycle device? That's not clear to me. Right. So if you write it, so I'm trying to ask the same question a different way to see if I get an answer.
Yeah. So I think your question is that if I intentionally use higher than enough voltage to rise the cells, then whether it will speed up the way out.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Yes, it will partially, but I don't think it will dramatically, because anyway, the way out means the determining factor is the erase. Because at the erase operation, we apply very high voltage onto the system with more than 4 and 5 milliseconds. So really, those kind of erase operation make the biggest stress on the device, not the programming. But yes, programming also contribute to the bailout, but not dominantly.
Okay, oh, thank you, that makes sense. Yeah, the erase voltage is much higher
than
the program voltage.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, let's thank the speaker one more time. Okay.